Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Her hands were on her hips, and she looked out and said, "Are you listening?" Could be your wife. Could be your mother. Could be your teacher. Are you listening? The sad response is probably no. You're daydreaming, you're thinking about something. That's usually what brings on that that question, are you listening, is because we weren't listening. This morning, God asks us that question, are you listening? The Old Testament lesson, 1 Samuel 3, is a peculiar passage. It's got several unique perspectives. It's probably one of the best-known passages, as we know, at least with the story of Samuel, wonderful calling of Samuel. It's a theophany, a manifestation of God coming to his people, Israel, kind of a divine invasion, if you will, begins Samuel's career as a prophet, God's spokesman. But the peculiarities, let me go back to this a little bit. The peculiarities in this text, it begins by saying, now the young man Samuel, little boy Samuel, is ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. Now, scholars seem to be equally divided as to what that actually means. Was this God's a representation of God's disfavor? And so he pulled back and didn't communicate with his people? Or, more likely, was this indicative of the people's own disinterest? It's like saying, my cell phone doesn't get good reception. It may not be the cell phone problem. Or rather, it may be the reception problem. It may be your cell phone. I've got bad reception at my home. My cell company says they should have good reception. So I invited about 4 or 5 pre-SEM students over, and we all opened up our cell phones to see what kind of reception that we got. And the person had the same program that I have. He had great. He had 6 bars. I think there are only 5, but he got 6. Great reception. Mine got 1.5. The problem wasn't the cell phone company, but my receiving of it. I couldn't always hear. Can you hear me now? At that point, I couldn't hear. The problem was not with the company. The problem was not with God. The word of the Lord was rare, not because God wasn't there, but rather the people weren't receptive. How odd. For young Samuel to be in this religious place without an awareness of God's presence. Here he was, the very lampstand that symbolized God's presence was there, and yet it says the word was rare. Apparently, God's presence was rather meaningless. Society went around very well without God, very similar to our society. We can function very well without God, thank you very much. And yet God is there. So the word of the Lord was rare, and yet he was there. We know he was there because he calls Samuel. And yet another peculiar verse, it goes on, at that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Again, it was early in the morning when the lamp would have finally gone out at daybreak. Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel and said to him, "Here I am," and ran to Eli. "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli says, "I didn't call you. Lie down." So he went and lay down. The Lord called Samuel again. "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I didn't call you. Lie down again." Now this peculiar verse. Now Samuel did not yet know Yahweh. The word of Yahweh had not yet been revealed to him. How peculiar, how odd. Samuel didn't know the Lord. He was here in the very temple of God, in the very presence of the lamp. He didn't know God. It's kind of sad because that same expression is used of Eli's two wicked sons the previous chapter. They didn't know Yahweh either, and they didn't obey him. They did their own thing. And God had a word of judgment against them. And Samuel, the same words. He didn't know Yahweh. Some of you are young men considering the pastoral ministry. You're beyond confirmation, which is always a good state to be. But there's a certain process that goes on in young men and young women as they grow beyond confirmation. There's this beginning to grow into their own faith. And in a sense, what we see with Samuel is Samuel's in that process. He knew Eli's faith. He could probably regurgitate all the right answers, but it wasn't in his heart. He didn't know God as God needed to be known, as that intimate personal relationship. So God needed to come to him in a special way. It's beyond confirmation. It's a personal confirmation. That word had not yet been revealed to him. God's will for his life was not yet known. Oh, yes, he had faith. This isn't talking about a conversional call. This is a vocational call. He didn't know what God wanted, as some of you men are still trying to decide, is this what God wants for me? God comes, and God gives an answer. That word had not yet come. That word made flesh, Jesus Christ, had not yet come and had not sealed God's promises for you and for me of the forgiveness of our sins, and the message wasn't as clear as you and I have it. But now we have it clear. We have it clear in the presence and person of Jesus Christ. That word made flesh now comes to us in his written word, in his sacramental word, and even in the waters of baptism to assure us of our calling into his family, but also to encourage us in our vocations. Three times, again, a peculiarity in the text, three times God calls Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. And three times he answers, here I am. He runs to Eli. Finally, Eli gets it. Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Shemuel, the one who has heard of Yahweh, now is to Shema, is to hear. Hear the one who is calling him. Do what your name says, Samuel. Hear the word of the Lord. He's been called by the gospel, but now he's called to serve. He's called to serve that one that has brought him into a relationship, as you also are called to serve that one. It's really the fourth call when he finally responds, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. God continues to hound us. Sometimes God is called the hound of heaven that keeps calling us, calling us. Some of you that are older and decided later to come to the seminary, you know what that's like, to be hounded by God, to have that sense of that urgency that I'm not happy until finally I'm in this vocation of being called by God to serve him. This one whom God says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, listen to him, encourages you and me to listen to that calling in our heart, that calling in our mind, that calling from other people that encourages us in our sense of ministry. We hear God's word of calling. He calls us to repentance. He calls us to be forgiven people of God, to listen to him, to encourage others to hear that voice of forgiveness, the voice of life, that voice of hope that gives us that assurance of his love, his forgiveness, that will never end. He says, I love you. I sent Jesus for you. My spirit is dwelling in you, and I'm giving you this vocation, this special calling to be my people, my spokesman. Are you listening to me? God is speaking. In the name of Jesus, amen.